WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively back from Super Bowl 56. I guess 57 will be in Phoenix next year. I see this guy at Super Bowls. I used to see him at combines. Don't think I've seen him at owners' meetings because he's more on the football side and the X's and the O's with his partner, Aaron Schatz. And as a part of Football Outsiders and an insider and a running gun gangster up in Jersey, and even took a picture with me on Radio Row and offered to come on. And Mike Tenier, I said to you, you know, why don't we just enjoy this moment together here while it's 28 degrees on Radio Row and there's no one around, and we'll just get together after the game and talk about how Joe Burrow won. Oh, he didn't wait. I guess all the preconceptions going into all that and all the mess on the other side, it's almost like the game happened a million years ago if you're following the Commanders or the cheerleader story or the Brian Flores, the Pittsburgh story. I mean, the league just blinks and the game's over and it's 0-0. And here we go into the combine controversy, right?
Right into the combine controversy. It makes it seem like, yeah, it was a week ago. I was on a plane a week ago this time, or I was in LAX, one or the other. But you know what they say, especially in our industry, 0.00, that game is over, the season's in the books. When we start talking, we don't talk about the Super Bowl. We talk about, is Matthew Stafford now a Hall of Famer? We say, what do the Bengals do next? Who is your top five quarterbacks? Is Joe Burrow the number one quarterback? We deal with those things. We never look back at the season. We always look forward. That's how the NFL's covered nowadays.
Well, you and I were there together in Englewood, and we were sitting 10 feet away, and we smelled cannabis all evening long. I mean, especially in the second half. I mean, after Snoop came out, I think it inspired everyone. What did you make of all of it? Because there was a point where you had just landed. I saw you on Radio Row. It was a little deadish on Friday. It was actually very active on Tuesday and Wednesday and most of the day Thursday. And I saw you there, didn't have you on. And just from an observational standpoint, I've made a lot of observations about the food in Koreatown and Little Tokyo and parties and the fact that there are no Rams fans even after they win the Super Bowl. But that stadium, I like want to go back and see something else there. I want to take my wife. Because it was such a scene. Of all the crap that happened, and we had Bauer Balzer on at the beginning of the week for what happened in St. Louis and what happened in L.A., they pulled it off, didn't they? They even got the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
They got the Rams to win the Super Bowl. It's a beautiful facility there. Looks like there's a water park next to it. It's not really a water park, but it looks like, there's a lake out there outside of it. Everything within the stadium, sight lines are beautiful, everything like that. That weird dome roof, I thought it was in a hothouse. I thought they were growing the cannabis. That's what I thought I was smelling that was in there. But, and you mentioned, 28 degrees on Radio Row, 98 degrees outside of Radio Row. The Super Bowl becomes more and more difficult to cover. And it seems like the amount of access you get decreases and the amount of distance and time you spend on shuttles increases every year. Now, you sound like media guys. Like, oh my God, they made me sit on a shuttle so I could go interview Matthew Stafford. We're talking about 2.5 hour bus rides to go and do like 20 minutes of content and things like that. It's not optimal. It's not good for our job. I don't think it's particularly good for the league. The league don't care because the league is mighty and things like that. And my complaint here is, and you were in the interviews rooms afterwards. The Rams sent out, what, 7 people total?
It's amazing. I mean, we're in a different world where the NBA puts an all-star game on over the weekend and the commissioner basically says, we don't really need reporters talking to players anymore. It's passe now. We'll just march them out on Zoom. I mean, the Orioles had a press conference the other day. The owner hadn't been heard from. They're in the middle of a lockout. And the owner decides to come on and pimp Paul McCartney because they're putting tickets on sale. So, music still makes the world go around. You know that, Tenier. And I would say for the NFL and its largesse and whatever you're going through in Philadelphia, which is the market you're primarily in, but I know you go up to New York. I know you come down here from time to time. And Marlon Humphrey's walking around Radio Row. He's been with the team 5 years, looks at me like he's never seen me before. I'm like, kid, I've been in a locker room with you for five, but there's no, there is no entree. They're told from the time they're 15 years old, they hate everybody that wants anything to know with a microphone in front of them that they don't control. Coach gets a hold of them in college. Agent gets a hold of them after that. Team gets a hold of them after that. And now the teams are just saying, we're just not going to have access anymore. I don't really know what that means for the fans. It's very obvious to me, spending time in Radio Row, like, the gambling's the future, and X's and O's, and how the game's played, and how you feel about the color green in Philadelphia, purple in Baltimore. These are spaceships. Like, the Raiders are, you know, the Cowboys and the Raiders, those international teams. That's where their money is. Their money isn't in go win one for Philly or win one for Baltimore. Right. Or there's no provincialism in this. There's no provincial coverage anymore.
And there's not a lot of, like, we're going to humanize the guy and talk to him more, because you're right. The access gets more and more tight every year. 2020 gave everybody a reason, not an excuse, to say, well, you're not going to be in the locker room. You're going to have lower access to players. Continued into 2021. What you're seeing is they're using that now as an excuse, as a control thing, where it's like, you're never going to get these guys. We're going to put these guys out there, you know, for 4 minutes in front of 25 reporters. And you're going to get what you get. And that's going to be it. And teams are getting, and the NFL itself are getting more and more like that.
It's, well, this is the European soccer model, right? I mean, that's where they're floating this. Hey, it's being done over there, just like gambling behind in the parlor. Right. Right?
And the gambling makes it move. And it's like, if you want it to be the people on the ESPN talk shows just making crap up, that's how you make it that way, because they can't talk to the players, so they're left just making stuff up. If you want somebody like me doing stats and telling jokes, I can do stats and telling jokes without ever speaking to a player, and I can make fun content on Football Outsiders and elsewhere, but it sort of creates a vicious cycle where it's like, well, now we're not going to give you access because you're just some smart aleck. And it's like, well, if I don't have access, I could be more of a smart aleck. I'm not, like, talking to this guy one-on-one and building a relationship with him. And
that's, well, it's amazing for the Orioles threw me out 16 right. years ago and, like, thought I was going to shrivel up and go away. Right. And then there's, like, a level of accountability that I never had a problem, you know, saying the manager did something and then going right. and sitting in front of the manager the next day. Right. Neither did Howard Eskin in Philly, or, you know, anybody who really did this for a living right. that I could criticize Billick and be in his office on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's over. That, I mean, and right. I'm glad that, like, I was a part of that and I can write books about it and all, but it's clearly the plague is going to be a delineator for yeah. us against them, media against teams,
right.
leagues taking full control of their story and yeah. Putinizing it, right? Like, dude, yeah. the most amazing thing in the world, go to any Major League Baseball website right now. Just pick one, mm-hmm. anyone. I went to the Orioles one the other day because of the McCartney show, and mm-hmm. it's like a joke. This is the front door of their property right now, and they just decide, we're going to put bricks up and put the old white grease paint they used to put in the mall window, right?
And no one benefits from this except sort of like the most soulless people who will just make up the most obnoxious things to say about players, teams, et cetera. Like, when you would criticize the manager, you go in the manager's office on Wednesday, it's built within a relationship. At some point, you have to look that person in the eye, and it's going to cut off you saying something really nasty or something obviously false, et cetera, et cetera. The people who just want to say whatever they want, if they don't have access, if they don't have accountability, they're going to do that. And that's how you get some of these websites that are just absolute negative dirt nonsense. That's how you get your TMZ type stuff. Some of your other ones I don't even feel like mentioning right now. That's what they do.
Well,
that's
you
what
the come NFL at it a totally different way. You come at it from a how the game is played statistically, yeah. functionally.
Right.
And that's why I love I'm sitting there talking X's and O's with Greg Cosell, who's watching film, or Ron Jaworski, or sitting around talking about you, that's taking even a deeper dive on the analytical side
right.
and why John Harbaugh goes for two, why John Harbaugh goes for it on fourth down all the time.
Right.
And like all those kinds of answers. I don't know how that plays into what the league's trying to do now with wagering, and with that's clearly where this is going,
yeah.
as opposed to provincial hometown pride, my team and all yeah. that. It is now an inducement to wager. Unlike the little pool cards your dad brought home, and my dad brought home from the point where, you know, you pick four winners for 20 points.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing's an inducement to wager now. And the information about injuries and stuff that we would look to find out as media members,
mm-hmm.
Even worse for the league, I think.
And we're seeing that get controlled in a way that's very difficult, where the line moves before we get an injury report. You know, like, oh, the line moved for 2 points on the Ravens against the Ravens. I guess Lamar Jackson's more hurt than we thought. We're not getting this from the league. We're not getting that kind of access. That's a bigger problem than like my bandwidth can handle right now. But, you know,
Congress can handle, quite frankly.
But these are the entry points to fandom right now. You know, you and I come from the days of, you know, I bleed green, you know, you would bleed Colts white or whatever back in the day. And
Colts were blue.
Blue. Okay.
Anywhere white. They look better in their whites, though. I love the whites.
They look better in their whites.
Yeah, they did. Right. Burt Jones, fantasy. Baby. Woo!
It's fantasy. It's daily fantasy. It's legal gambling. It's Madden. It's all of these other things. And it's been that way for decades. The gambling is just value added over the fantasy. And we've always been adjusting to that. I guess the thing is, when you completely take the human element out of it and say, look, we can't even like profile these guys or tell little stories about them because you won't give us access to them. Then that takes away a little bit of that. I'm a Philly guy. I root for the Eagles, do or die. Why bother? I've got a satellite. I've got DraftKings and FanDuel. I've got a fantasy site. Why bleed green for this team when I can be a football fan in this totally different way?
Or, and I'll get deeper into this and we'll move on. Or after 30 years of doing this for a living, I'm going to show up and you're going to treat me like shit. And I'm supposed to not talk about it. So that's a whole different level. Mike Tenier here. Tell everybody what you do, because you're in various places at this point. You were once Joe Flacco's math teacher, so I always brag on you for that. But you come at this a whole different way with analytics. And this is an interesting time of the season for you and what you do to give value to players, especially as we go out into the free agent market, to say who played well, who's on the way up, who needs more money, and how can the Ravens or the Eagles or whomever your team is, the Commanders, get better this offseason?
And that's it. Football Outsiders are doing a couple of things. I am leading the spearhead of our updated draft coverage. So one of the things we're doing is taking some of the analytics and beefing it up on the draft side of things so we can say, will this receiver really help you? Will this edge rusher really help you? But again, a lot of the meat of it right now is the free agent market, the salary cap, helping people understand the salary cap, understand why this contract's going to be this restructured, why the Packers will be able to get under the salary cap, it will be a mess, why the Saints are in big trouble, et cetera, and then pair it with the free agents on the market right now. And also, some of it is looking ahead. At Football Outsiders, we did, Aaron Schatz just did the rankings for 2022. Now, of course, rankings before free agency, rankings before draft, they are what they are. But you find out things like right now, the Ravens have the easiest projected schedule in the NFL for next year. So
wow. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the falling apart and where they are, and there's got to be some benefit to all this. But man, I had Luke on, and we started reading through their injuries, and it's like the injuries. Not just Lamar, who had a little gimp at the end and seems to be throwing it okay, or, you know, Marlon Humphrey, it wasn't about his wheels, but Marcus Peters, it was. And then the running backs, pick any of them. And then the age of Calais Campbell, and, you know, where are they with Houston, and, you know, where are they going to be with anybody to rush the quarterback, and Matt Judon spouting off. There's just all of these issues. Our body clocks for you and me, and I think we probably got to know each other in Indianapolis over the course of time. I know I met Aaron. Jim Schwartz introduced me to Aaron Schatz 17 years ago. Jimmy was still running the Titans at the time, defense. And analytics and statistics, and then there's this rookie class, Combine. You were down in Mobile. People were, you know, at the Senior Bowl watching all of this. And now the agents have gotten together, express to everybody what the situation is, because it's been a couple of years since I've been to Indianapolis. I went back when it was good, you know, when it was like drinking and late night bars and food and shrimp cocktail that made your nose bleed. You know, it was just a good time, and it was also informational. But I tell you what, when the kids don't want to come and run because they're not feeling like they're at their peak, and the agents who control all of this, we talk that baseball war right now, a little war going on with the NFL, and it's going to play out in the next 2 weeks.
It is, and I have no idea where this is going to lead. So what happened is last year there was no combine as we know it. They did physicals, medicals. There was no 40-yard dashes on NFL Network because of COVID. So you understand that in 2021. Now, as we seem to be coming out of the pandemic, I don't think it's controversial to say restrictions are lifting. The NFL's combine restrictions have gotten more severe. And these young men are expected to be in a bubble situation in which they will have limited access to their agents, to their trainers, to the training equipment, to the things that and they're going to have specialized meals that are going to be brought in by the NFL. And that should be a red flag. I think we heard in the Olympics, we see these pictures of these horrible meals that would come out. We heard some things in the bubble in the NBA, these ridiculous meals. The NFL is going to provide these kids meals. Now, that is kind of like extreme, and it's very off the line of what happens. What normally happens is the agency like takes out like a room or a section of like the Marriott or one of the other hotels there. All the kids are together. They have training table buffets that are brought in especially for the kids. The kids are used to it because they've been working with these academies and everything like that. Their personal trainers are there. Their agents are there. Sometimes their family is nearby. And these kids, while they have to do a lot of stuff involving medicals and physicals, are comfortable with what they're doing.
Because you're making me laugh because then three years later, we go to their locker and say, hey, dude, can you tell me a little bit about what happened in third down?
Right. But at this point, you know, that's it. So they're used to, oh, I'm going to be here with some family members, some fellow players. We're going to eat like we're supposed to eat with the, you know, with our trainer watching.
Yeah, because we're running a 40 time. And I saw what happened to Orlando Brown a couple years ago where he came in a first round draft pick and came and went out a second day, maybe going to the third day if the Ravens didn't take him.
2 years ago, they moved the receiver 40s to prime time. So you got young people who are used to getting up, doing their training thing, having their breakfast, stretching, and running a 40. And then they were like, they had to wake up and wait till 8 o'clock. So these kids are rattling around in circles. They're having several meals. The agent wants, and the trainer wants some sort of control over it. Don't go out in the Indianapolis.
Dude, somebody in New York figured out they could make money by putting this on TV. The guys like you and Shots will be sitting around watching the Underwear Olympics.
And it's very bad. It gets worse and worse for players. It's worse for the media too. And we're a year or two away from them taking it out of Indianapolis, which is at least really convenient and centralized, where the kids in hotel, interview room, and you can walk to everything. Out to the stadium.
And here, 3 years from now, they're taking the Super Bowl back out to Inglewood. You and me, we can go by the same guy that was rolling joints on the corner that I saw when I got off the media bus. We can go out for the Super Bowl. It'll be Eagles and Ravens. When it's all over with, we'll go spend a week out in Palm Springs. You and me, and see the Joshua Tree. Right? Find our creator out there, and then we'll come back into LA and they'll just have a combine. Just going to do it all in one little turn.
And the combine is going to be everybody's riding on shuttles for 2 hours a day and things like that. And the players are miserable. Media is miserable. And the agents are mad. And the top 10 prospects, they start holding the top 10 prospects back. Because that's what's happening today. It's supposed to be officially announced as many as 150 prospects not running. Now, that should get the NFL shuddering a little bit. The idea that they're going to put this out there and Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave and Williams and David Bell and all these top receivers aren't going to run in their prime time show. And that should get them to ease back on the restrictions. But the agents should be on top of this saying, this should be convenient for the players. This should be a
positive
fight,
isn't it? It's never like get together and let's do the right thing. It's let's do the wrong thing and see if they'll push back. And then we can wag our finger and then we can get something we want. And
right.
It's
all true.
Dude, you're a baseball fan. I mean, this is an issue, man. It's a mess, right?
And you said Super Bowl in 3 years. If the Super Bowl's in Inglewood in 3 years, I'm probably not going to it because it's not worth the time. If it's just hours on shuttles, and you go after the game to get an interview, and Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, and Cooper Kupp are all talking at the same time, and then they leave and no one else comes out, so it's like I can't even get Super Bowl audio after this game. I don't even have like it takes me 3 hours to get to a bus, and I don't have all 50 guys. I've only got the five guys on the podiums. It's not worth it. I wind up, you talk about the loose joint guy. I wind up at the dispensary 2 blocks from the convention center.
Inglewood, always up to no good, you know? I mean, Mike Tenier is here. He is a running gun gangster. By the way, I had Warren Moon on the show. So I had a little run and shoot offense thing going on with you. For the Ravens and for their offseason specifically and things you're looking at, the Lamar Jackson experiment, should I call it that? So far it's an experiment, like the running gun offense was an experiment, right? Like the Wildcat, like Tim Tebow. And look, this thing's worked out great. They've won a lot of games.
Right.
I've said to everyone, and I've had a lot of smart people agree with me, which makes me feel like I'm not a dumbass, that you shouldn't have your quarterback run into linebackers, and you shouldn't expect him to stay healthy after he runs the ball 21 times the first week of November, and you go play 3 days later. And then there are no playoffs, even when you're 8-3. Right. So with this being said, it is the first sort of study in the NFL of doing this where a franchise has gone all in, literally, on this.
Right.
You could talk about Kyler Murray or Patrick Mahomes or the things that they do that might be similar to Lamar, but it is different. Where are you on the experiment, Mike?
Well, it's been a 3-year experiment that led a couple of playoff appearances, MVP award, 14-2 season. So you can't you can't compare it to Tim Tebow or the Wildcat. It's
fair enough.
But the run and shoot was that, because that had playoff, and Warren Moon could speak to that. You know, they were deep into playoff runs. They went to AFC championship seasons, et cetera. It's probably something that has to boil down to not 20 carries a game for your running quarterback, but 7, 8, 9 carries a game, like this limit where that is being folded in with some more traditional things. Now, one of the problems I'm having right now, and I'm trying to look at the team's salary cap situation, the easiest way to clear cap space would be for Lamar Jackson to get that extension done. Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent, and it seems to be that one of the things that's slowing things down is that there is not that person. Twitter loves the whole, players don't need agents. Players don't need agents. And Twitter's full of people who can't, like, pay their mortgages. Okay, so let's just get that out of the way right now. So this is a very complicated, delicate situation.
I have no problem saying that I know, and I know enough about you to know you know more than anybody on Twitter. You know, more than anybody this side of legitimate Andrew Brandt people that, you know, and so therefore, you know, I'd like you to be the teacher.
I have a degree in mathematics. And while I don't actually have an agent, I probably should. I do have an accountant that takes care of my taxes and stuff like that. It's not something you can just do as a side job. And Lamar Jackson, it seems like, and whoever's representing him as a legal sense, is trying to do like one of the most complicated contracts in all of sports, a quarterback contract for a unique quarterback as a side job. And I think it's slowing the process down at this point. And it's probably confusing on Jackson's side. It's confusing on DaCosta's side, on the organization side, because they'd like to be able to push some money back into 2023, 2024. I think they're a little nervous, too, about handing him a Josh Allen type deal where it's like, is this guy going to break down because of this? And all of those variables are coming into play. And until we get clarity on that, we don't have clarity on the Ravens offseason, because that's the accordion that's going to stretch some money out where they'll be able to bring in, keep some of their free agents, extend some of their contracts, and show me what this roster is going to look like in 2022.
Mike Denier is here talking all things offseason. So we get through this combine thing, and there really is something to be said for all these years into this and all the Super Bowls that the league continues to become so big that the NBA can't get out of its way. The NHL is non-existent. The NASCARs can run the races and do all that stuff. Yeah. But the Brian Flores story, whatever is going to stick the Ross down in Miami, whatever Congress is going to do with the Washington football experiment, all of this will lead into blink and it'll be draft day. And they probably won't be playing baseball based on what I'm seeing. Yeah. And the NFL really owns it at this time of the year. And as I've said, from the minute the season ended, watching you and the only other big celebrity that was there on Friday was Russell Wilson walk around and do, place to place. Well, Russell Wilson was there, and I'm thinking him and Rodgers and all of these empty chairs in Pittsburgh and, you know, places where they'd like to get better at the quarterback position, like San Francisco, the next couple of weeks, the quarterback seats and the, tampering period is going to make for very, very interesting theater. Far better theater than anything baseball, football, basketball, college, any of this is going to do. Wrestling, maybe a John Mayer concert, a good Eagles tour. But other than that, I would say the NFL, despite not playing, there's going to be plenty to be said here. It will dominate the sports landscape over the next 8 weeks, despite not playing.
They turn their scandal into success, and they turn their success into success. The scandal keeps us coming back and paying attention and keeps us energized. And then when if there's a trade, a Deshaun Watson trade, we forget everything else. If there's an Aaron Rodgers trade, we forget everything else. That's the miracle of what the NFL does. I don't have to like it. I don't like the idea that Brian Flores and stuff like that winds up being more bread and circuses, but it's what the NFL does.
Dude, love you. Appreciate you. Sorry I didn't get you to sit with me at the Radio Row, but I'm glad we all left happy in L.A. In Inglewood. And halftime show was great, right? You would agree with that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. After the game, I went down. Remember those Dre Day boxes the dudes jumped out of?
Yeah.
There was a pile of them sitting right next to the interview, just a pile of Dre Day. I wanted a Dre Day box so bad. I'm trying to figure out, how can I get this? Maybe if I ship something else in the Dre Day box back to me in FedEx, I could have my own, but I decided not to get banned from the NFL forever by stealing a piece of the halftime.
You should have taken a selfie and then you'd have it. You'd be like a brick in the wall. It would look like Pink Floyd. Yeah. Right. It'd be like Mike Floyd. It's what it would be. Yeah. Mike Tenier, he's up in New Jersey, but don't hold that against him. I will see you for a cheesesteak and a proper pretzel. Maybe you and I should do that plant show at the Man that night. All right.
Yeah. Allison. Yeah, Krauss, that's a good one.
I think it's I'm not
down with John Mayer, but I'll do Robert Plant.
Not down with John Mayer. Man, I'd love you. I thought you were a guitar guy, you know? All right, next time we'll argue about that. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.